The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
On this episode of Grace in Focus, how are forgiveness and punishment related? Can they mutually exist? If you forgive someone, does that mean there are no consequences? Thank you for being here today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We hope you'll get to know us better by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can read our daily blogs and give us feedback on how we're doing. There are also many resources on that site. It's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
I'm here with Mr. Radio, David Renfro.
Are you ready to crumble?
No. Rumble.
I keep getting, are you ready to fumble?
No, it's rumble. Okay, David.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you, and I think you have a question from JM.
This person, JM, wrote a pretty long email.
So we'll, and by the way, for those of you sending in questions, one or two sentence ones get the most likely to get answered. So send short questions to radio@faithalone.org, and we'll get you on the air.
We're not happy to try to read some doctoral thesis
right.
on something about
exactly.
It. But JM says this: I've been struggling regarding forgiveness, and specifically the forgiveness we are called to extend to others.
Okay, and then I think there are some specific questions toward the end of the email that JM gets down to, which are very interesting questions.
They are. First of all, the questions are, if I am to forgive another as God has forgiven me, am I simply choosing to no longer be angry, or am I choosing not to punish? And if I'm choosing not to punish, how do we understand the role of earthly criminal justice?
Right.
And then he gives an example, he or she. For example, if someone robs me, can I forgive them and still press charges against them?
Okay, now the issue here is JM doesn't seem to understand there's a difference between forgiveness and consequences.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I know you as an Old Testament scholar are very familiar with what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David commits adultery with Bathsheba,
right,
and then has her husband Uriah killed, and then the prophet Nathan confronts him.
Right.
Okay, so does God forgive David?
Absolutely.
Okay, so no consequences, right?
That would be a no.
What kind of consequences happened in 2 Samuel 12 through 24?
He just said, okay, the rest of your life is going to be a train wreck.
And it was, right?
And it was.
I mean, like, Absalom rebels against him.
Right.
Absalom goes off and is gone out of the country for quite a while,
right,
for several years. And then he comes back. Then he leads a rebellion. David has to flee for his life.
Right.
Then Absalom actually dies. And he, remember the, oh, Absalom, Absalom.
Mm-hmm.
How I wished I had died, not you.
Right.
And then, of course, toward the end of his life, he numbers the people, and there's this great plague that goes through the camp, and what was it, 70,000 died?
A bunch.
All of that as a result of committing adultery and murder.
Well, not only does he do that with David, he does that with Solomon, too.
Yeah.
Because he promised Solomon unimaginable wisdom and unimaginable wealth.
Which he got both.
And because God promised it, he got
right.
both. And there was no condition. But then there was a condition. He also said, if you continue to follow me, essentially, and obey me, then I will extend your line.
Right.
Guess what? Read 1 Kings 11 to see if Solomon really stayed with the Lord.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting.
Well, now his line does have to continue because he's in the line of David.
Yeah,
but it was a divided kingdom after that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what the big difference, and I thought this was an interesting point too. Yeah, David messed up big time, but his heart was in the right place. He still wanted to follow the Lord and only the Lord. Solomon, his heart got turned away.
In fact, in 1 Kings 11, he dies as an idolater.
Essentially, yeah.
Because his foreign wives, he was building temples to these pagan gods.
Right. He was celebrating. He probably did not quit worshiping the Lord, but he brought in all these others. We call that syncretism,
yeah,
to believe with. And I'm so glad that doesn't happen these days in the Christian church.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, right. But that's what Solomon did. And that the fact that Solomon's heart was turned away from following the Lord and him only made the big difference between him and his father David.
Right. Okay, so you've got forgiveness. Let's talk about what forgiveness is. Say, for example, that I offend you. I do something wrong and you forgive me. Well, that means there's a restoration in our fellowship, right?
That's the point.
But not that there are no consequences.
Right.
So, for example, if I do something to sin against you and your opinion of me drops significantly, the level of our friendship could decrease significantly, right?
Let's say you're over at our house and you see a dollar bill laying there and you take it.
That would be okay. Because it was finders keepers, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the untold wealth that we have. Yeah, right. But I might find out that you stole that dollar bill.
Exactly.
I can forgive you.
But there still would be consequences.
But you ain't getting another dollar from me ever.
You're going to hide the money.
That's right.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
Say, for example, okay, I'll give you a true story.
Okay.
Back years ago when Kyle Kalmeyer was here and was my right-hand guy, we hired a temporary person to do the help desk.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to keep petty cash, like I think it was $400 petty cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get low, we'd contact the CPA and we'd get more. So this one woman that worked temporarily for us was not being conscientious. And so Kyle talked to her and said, look, you need to decide, am I going to really put my heart into this or not? Because the person was spending a lot of time on the internet at work, and they're supposed to be working,
mm-hmm.
right? And so Kyle went back to his office, and I was back in my office, and we both had our doors closed, and this woman just left her key on the desk and walked out. And I got an email a couple hours later from her saying, you know, I quit. I didn't like being confronted, and so I quit. Well, what was interesting was a day or two later, we needed money from petty cash. There wasn't a penny left in petty cash.
Oh, nice.
And according to our receipts that we had records for, there were supposed to be $380 in there. So I emailed her and I said, you didn't happen to somehow get the petty cash for something and had forgotten to return it. And she's like, oh, no, I didn't take the petty cash. She said, that's probably Kyle. Kyle stole it.
Oh.
So guess what? If this woman wanted a reference, I'm not going to give her a good reference.
I think she is disqualified from a good reference.
Right. I'm happy to forgive her. Of course, she didn't ask for forgiveness. In fact, she was the opposite of confessing. She's blaming somebody else.
Sure.
But let's say she did confess and said, please forgive me. I would have absolutely forgiven her.
Sure.
But I'd never hire her again, right?
Right.
And I certainly wouldn't trust her around money, like your illustration. Let's take a parent-child situation.
Okay.
Okay, so you and I don't have kids, but let's say we did, and we had a child that one child greatly harms the other child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can forgive that, but there are going to be consequences, right? We're going to punish the child that hurt the other child.
Right.
And punishment is independent of forgiveness.
Right.
So what she's talking about, if someone steals against her, she should report it to the police.
Especially if it's, using her term, a robbery.
Right.
Which is a criminal offense.
Right. So God uses the government to bring this about. And one of the things we need to recognize is God brings about these consequences to get us to come back to him.
That's right.
So if we eliminate the consequences, we're eliminating God's method of getting the person to come back.
Right.
It's like, I remember when I was growing up, we had a relative, a Serbian relative, and they had two older daughters and then a much younger son. And the son was about my age, and he was a terror. We would go over there, and he would cuss at his parents. He would cuss at us. He would throw things. He would yell. And his dad would do nothing. His mom would do nothing. And the kid was just very, very rebellious. Mm-hmm. And my dad would be furious. A couple of times my dad chased this kid around the house, but the kid was pretty fast and he couldn't catch him. But the point is, it really wasn't good for that child to have no discipline.
Well, what that does, no discipline encourages bad behavior.
Well, it doesn't Proverbs...
It almost is it's a silent approval of what that kid's doing.
Right. Well, doesn't Proverbs say, he who spares the rod spoils the child?
Absolutely.
Right? And so God, being a loving father, always gives us the rod when we need it. He always gives us that spank on the fanny.
Mm-hmm.
And if he removed all consequences, then we wouldn't be growing as he wants us to grow.
Right.
And so the same thing is true on an interpersonal relationship, like J.M. is talking about forgiving others. Mm-hmm. Let's say forgiving another believer. Yes, forgive, but there are consequences. And so, you know, have you ever heard forgive and forget?
Yeah.
I think it's forgive. The and forget part isn't right, because if someone has broken your trust and they come back and they ask for forgiveness, you forgive them, but your opinion of them has changed, right?
Right, yeah.
And so what you're going to entrust to them is different now than it would have been before. Now, they may regain your trust, right, over time.
Over time.
In fact, I just saw in the, you may have seen this, that a pastor friend of ours just had to step down from his church.
Yes.
And he said he's going through a time of restoration. He has repented, and now he's going through a time of restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, that's great. But there is a needed time so that the trust comes back before
right.
a pastor could be trusted to be a pastor again, right?
Right, I agree. Yeah.
So there are consequences in the Christian life, and we don't want God to remove them from us, and we don't want him to remove them from others, because those consequences are the means God uses
right.
to keep us walking with him.
If we didn't get those consequences, we would think everything is fine, and we are in blatant violation of God's holy law.
Right. So, J.M., thank you for the question. It's really a good one, and I think we need to understand that, yes, we are to forgive, but that doesn't mean there are no consequences.
Absolutely.
And in the meantime, let's
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On the next episode, is eternal life unending life? It would seem so, but join us next time. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.